Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, the 27th of June, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. The home of our show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world on any of three websites: my website, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. We post the show to those three websites usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so you can check out the program anytime, anywhere. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We will kick things off with a discussion about the growing obesity problem in this country. We'll be talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. 30 minutes past the hour, Ted Przelski joins us on our blogger beat. Ted's blog, Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, has just been named the best political blog in Arizona by the Capital Times. And we'll close out the show with congressional candidate Jonathan Payton. Mr. Payton is running in the newly formed Congressional District 1, which is huge, going all the way from Marana and Oro Valley up to the Navajo Nation, so it's a huge district. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or you can email us at buckmastershow.com if you want to post a question to the Facebook page. We'll try to monitor that as well during the show. Let's begin now with obesity. Two-thirds of adults are either overweight or obese. They're either overweight or really overweight. And I guess that would be in the category of obese. Some 17% of children and teens are obese, on the road to bad things like diabetes, heart disease, and other ailments before they're even grown up. That's according to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which issued some guidelines this week saying doctors need to do more than just mention a diet for their overweight patients. Joining me in studio is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and Professor of Medicine, Family and Community Medicine and Public Health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Victoria, Dr. Mazes, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
There is so much news about obesity, and we actually started off the week with a University of Arizona professor of communication who has testified nearly 24 times before Congress, Dr. Dale Kunkel, who has said repeatedly in his testimony, we really need to do something about the advertising that is aimed towards children. And Disney this month finally made the decision that they will pretty much ban junk food ads from their commercials. That will happen, I think, in 2014. Now we're hearing that doctors need to do more than tell their patients who are overweight, well, there's more than the diet. And they're talking about this BMI index.
Yes, the body mass index. But I want to go back to Disney. I actually think it's wonderful that Disney has, in fact, decided that they're going to no longer advertise these really unhealthy foods. There's no question that children, as a susceptible audience, really can't discern. They often don't distinguish between what's advertising and what's the program. And while for a long time people have asked for voluntary guidelines, nothing's really happened. So this is a big step for Disney to take.
Yeah, and the hope is, as Dr. Kunkel was saying, that others, Nickelodeon and some of these other groups, will also follow Disney's lead, but who knows? There was also this news about the city of New York.
And I think that's another wonderful step. You could see people trying different things. So Mayor Bloomberg I have to laud his effort. He basically said you can't sell more than 16 ounces of soda at a time. Soda is certainly a source of empty calories. It's sugar water, essentially. And sugar water and these highly processed foods are clearly known to be contributing to the obesity epidemic. People get as much as 7% of their caloric intake from these completely empty calories with no nutritional value to us whatsoever. They like to say they're providing fluid. Well, water is fluid. Herbal tea is fluid.
Yeah, I mean,
regular tea.
Forget the 16-ounce drink and support one of our sponsors, where I've got a Culligan bottle of water right in front of me. I mean, bottled water I would prefer over to rather than these big soft drinks. But now getting back to the BMI, the body mass index, this story that came out this week from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, they say that few doctors are actually trained to treat obesity. They're discouraged by yo-yo dieting, but they don't know what to actually advise to their patients.
So BMI, the body mass index, is something you can calculate, and I'm not going to give the exact formula because it's a bit complicated, but those of you who have access to the internet, if you Google BMI, it will tell you exactly how to calculate it. It takes into account your weight and your height and lean and body mass and fat cells, essentially. But I think that this idea that we don't know what to advise is a problem. Last year, for example, the New England Journal of Medicine took a look at three different very large studies that followed almost 121,000 women and men who were healthy, didn't have various medical conditions, and they followed them, and they came up with very clear dietary and lifestyle factors that contributed. Some of them are going to be no surprise to people. For example, potato chips was factored out. It accounted alone for a 1.7-pound weight increase over a four-year period. Potatoes, about 1.3 pounds. Sugar-sweetened beverages, you know, those sodas we were just talking about, a pound. Unprocessed red meat, another approximately pound, as was processed meat, so your salamis. And they also pointed to the things that actually accounted for less weight gain or weight loss, and those were eating vegetables, whole grains, fruits, nuts, and yogurt. Yogurt, maybe because of the probiotics, those healthy bacteria in the yogurt. They also, again, there's no surprise here, recommended that people be physically active. They saw almost a 2-pound weight loss for people who were physically active, that they have one alcoholic beverage or less a day. That actually, if you drank too much, you could increase your weight. Quitting smoking. Now, when people quit smoking, they often reach for something and put it in their mouth. So quitting smoking is actually, while it's very good for you, it's associated with weight gain. And sleep. And most people have not really thought about how much sleep plays a role in obesity. But if you sleep either less than 6 hours or more than 8 hours consistently, you will gain weight. And finally, watching television. So it's not just being physically active and getting in 30 to 60 to 90 minutes of exercise per day. It's also less time spent in front of a screen.
Yeah, and just briefly here, a normal BMI, body mass index, is less than 25. Obesity begins around the 30 level. In between is considered overweight, but there are ways, as you say, go on the internet. There's all sorts of sites that you can use
to
calculate your BMI. And then there was this story that plastics, this is unbelievable, a study that suggests that even a baby's pacifier
yes, so
or a rubber ducky can make your child fat.
So here's the thing. The New England Journal of Medicine looked at many of the lifestyle factors, and I've pointed some of them out. But one of the areas they didn't look at that may be another one of those factors that have been underestimated are the environmental chemicals that we're exposed to. So when babies suck for hours a day on a pacifier, they're actually taking phthalates, which is in the plastics into their bodies. And the study shows that when they do this, they're at 5 times higher risk of being obese as babies and children who don't suck on pacifiers. And you would say, well, why is that? And it's because the phthalates, this chemical compound in the plastic, affects our metabolism. It is an endocrine disruptor. It alters the way in which hormones are processed in the body. And it's theorized that the phthalates could lower thyroid function, which would then tend to increase weight, or it may be that it lowers androgens, the male hormones, which also are responsible for more lean body mass. So there's a couple of presumptive mechanisms, but don't underestimate the environmental chemicals, whether we get them by sucking on a pacifier, by eating them in our food, for example, MSG, monosodium glutamate, also been linked to obesity.
Yeah, so, you know, getting back to when a doctor tells you, well, you're overweight, I mean, it's almost like people then don't know how to take the next step.
So there have been a lot of studies over the years of what should you eat, you know, what's the right diet.
There was a story today just about that there are such not all calories are created equal when keeping the pounds
That's
off.
That's absolutely right.
Good calories and bad calories.
Yes, and Gary Taubes wrote a very good book on that. But there was a study published earlier this week in JAMA. Dr. Ludwig, who's a pediatric endocrinologist at Harvard, who often speaks at our nutrition conference, published this study. It wasn't a very large study. It was only of 32 people. But what they did is they divided them into three groups. They had a low-fat diet, which is sort of the advice that's been given out for years and years by cardiologists and other doctors. They had an Atkins diet, which is an extremely low-carbohydrate diet. And then they had a low glycemic load diet. And we've talked about that glycemic load before. It's a measure of how rapidly you turn carbohydrate foods into blood sugar and then have to have all the responses of your body. So a carbohydrate food like French bread very rapidly turns into blood sugar. Broccoli, which is also carbohydrate, very slowly is turned into blood sugar. So they looked at people on these three diets, and guess what they found?
What? What'd they find?
Well, what they found is that the people on the Atkins diet actually lost the most weight. The people on the low glycemic index were next, and the people on the low-fat diet, which has been the recommendation for a really long time, did the worst. However, while people on the Atkins diet did, in fact, have the most loss, there were problems with it. That diet increases C-reactive protein, which is a measure of chronic inflammation. It increases cortisol. That's a hormone that is responsible for stress and can be neurotoxic. And so while Atkins diet short-term may lead to weight loss, long-term it's not a healthy diet. So the clear winner here was the low glycemic index.
We will take a break right here. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us from the Center for Integrative Medicine based at the University of Arizona, coming up now on 1218. This is the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back with Dr. Mazes.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Well, 20 now on the Buckmaster Show, and support for our program comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. They've got a great website. Check out splendidotucson.org. Once a month, we are delighted to have Dr. Victoria Mazes with us. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the Center for Integrative Medicine. That's the center that was founded by Dr. Andrew Weil. It's at the University of Arizona, and we're always delighted to have Dr. Mazes with us. She is such a wealth of knowledge, and today we are talking about a problem that is affecting so many and growing by the minute, Americans who are overweight. Dr. Mazes, we were talking a little bit about not all calories are created equal when keeping pounds off, and I think we need to go back and talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, because this is really different from what we all grew up believing. I mean, I was taught, and you know, for years we've read a calorie is a calorie is a calorie, and what we are learning is that is simply not so in terms of what your body does with the food that comes in. So while it may be isocaloric, meaning identical in terms of calories, it is not isometabolic. In other words, it does not have the same effect on the physiology of your body. So it is completely different to eat 100 calories of potato chips or 100 calories of cauliflower. They have completely different effects on what your body does in terms of the blood sugar response, the insulin response, the inflammation that's generated in the body. And so we have to change our mindset about this.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Victoria, slip on your headset there so we can hear Robert. Go ahead, Robert. You're with Dr. Mazes.
Hey, Bill. Quick comment and a question. Doctor, if you walk a mile, you burn 60 calories. If you jog it, you burn 120. If you skip one soda, you burn 220. So people should start with what they're putting in their mouth. My question is, why, when I go to the doctor, they're more concerned about what gasoline I put in my car? They never ask me what I eat. When I'm sitting in the waiting room with all those people with indigestion and achy joints and whatnot, the problem is obvious. So why don't doctors ask people what they eat?
Good question. Thank you, Robert.
I think it's a fabulous question, and I suspect it's because nutrition has not traditionally been part of the curriculum at colleges of medicine. So medical students don't learn about nutrition. Residents don't learn about nutrition. That's something that we're actively working to change at the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. We have an annual nutrition conference in all of our educational programs. We have hundreds of hours of nutrition content, and we also teach our physicians how to work with people around behavior change, because the reality is it is hard to change our habits. If it was easy, we would all just do it overnight. But it does take effort. It takes motivation. We know if it was easy, we wouldn't have an obesity epidemic. We'd all just say, oh, I guess I need to eat less and exercise more.
But Robert really does bring up a good question that I can't speak for all doctors, but when you do go to get an annual physical, you wonder how much time is spent with nutrition. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I agree. I think very little time is spent, and it's something that deserves more time and attention. There is a growing movement with health coaches. There are registered dietitians who are trained to help people with weight loss. Hopefully they have the right information about that lower glycemic index, lower glycemic load diet, and not just the old news, which is low fat. But I think this is certainly a major problem that we face in our society. I agree with Robert.
The last time the USDA set standards for so-called competitive foods, those are the vending machine foods in schools, was 1979, and now the government is again looking at rules governing the food that's sold at school. Now, this is unfortunate, and it's not part of the regular meal, and I wish it was that they were really looking at the regular lunch meal. These are more of your snack foods, so
right.
to speak.
Well, both have been looked at, and there are some communities that are doing just beautiful job of taking the onus on themselves to alter school meals. You know, some of this goes back to cooking, that we have to stop depending on processed food, on prepackaged food, and we have to begin to cook with things you'd recognize, vegetables that, you know, come off of farms and, you know, whole ingredients, minimally processed and starting from scratch. There are efforts, we have to credit Alice Waters, of beginning gardens at school and really teaching school children about where food comes from and how it's grown. So we do see efforts that are in the right direction. Certainly taking soda out but putting in Gatorade with high fructose corn syrup is not necessarily a step in the right direction. So the vending machines count too, and they need to be looked at.
So you're getting back to what doctors learn about nutrition. The young doctors now, at least associated with your program, the Center for Integrative Medicine, nutrition is a big deal to them.
Absolutely. We spend a tremendous amount of time both on the content. So what is the healthiest diet? How do you discern whether it's the same for someone who has heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, cancer? There's growing consensus that the broad strokes, and you and I have talked a lot about the Mediterranean diet over the years, the broad strokes, luckily, are very much the same. So it's low glycemic index, it's sufficient omega-3, it's lots of vegetables primarily and some fruit, it's minimally processed and minimally refined. And if you can't remember all that, Michael Pollan summed it up in just a few words, right?
Yes. Yeah. We were talking earlier about the low-fat diet. It
yes.
may not be what everybody had cracked it up to be.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And in this recent study that Dr. Ludwig did that was published in JAMA, the low glycemic index actually had 40% of the calories from fat. That's not a low-fat diet. And the thing about fat is satiating. It has a nice mouthful. It makes us stay full longer. So foods like nuts, which have a high fat content, or avocados, which has a high fat content. Now, it's healthy. healthy fat. It's monounsaturated. But, you know, a piece of fish, of wild salmon, which has a fair amount of fat, these are foods that keep us full longer, so we don't have to keep reaching for other calories.
And again, 100 calories from a handful of, say, almonds compared to 100 calories from potato chips. Not all calories created equally.
Absolutely right.
Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much for being with us. Anything new going on at the center? Are you getting ready for another group of doctors coming through?
Well, we always are getting ready for another group of doctors, but one very exciting development is that we have recruited an internationally known scientist, Dr. Esther Sternberg, to serve as our director of research at the Center for Integrative Medicine, and that's going to launch a whole new and large research portfolio on outcomes research in integrative medicine.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, thanks for being with us, and we will see you in July. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A jury in Texas has convicted a Saudi man who had been accused of collecting chemicals and bomb-making materials in hopes of carrying out a terrorist attack. The man was in this country legally on a student visa. A congressional Republican says the House and Senate have tentatively agreed to prevent interest rates on new college loans from doubling to 6.8% effective Sunday. The victory by New York Congressman Charlie Rangel in yesterday's Democratic primary wasn't as easy as it first appeared. As election officials complete the count, his margin of victory is narrowed to 2.8 percentage points. Updating Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 103 points, 12,637, the NASDAQ 23 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Coming up now on 1234, welcome back. This is The Buckmaster Show. If you love antiques like I love antiques, I strongly recommend a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in the beautiful Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we talk with an area blogger, and today it is Ted Przelski. Ted runs the blog Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, which has just been named by the Capital Times in Phoenix as the best political blog in Arizona. Ted, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I had a lot of people voting for me, and I have to admit I did run a little bit of a Facebook campaign for that one, so...
And for those who don't know about Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, tell us kind of a little bit about what you strive to do every day.
Well, it's in a lot of ways it's me kind of ranting, you know, which is what blogging really is. But I think also I come to this with a lot of knowledge about history and sort of the way politics actually works, and I think I'm bringing something there. I think that a lot of bloggers don't necessarily do that. As someone who's lived here all his life and read up on this stuff.
What do you think about the SB 1070 and the so-called papers please provision that has been, at least for the time being, held up by the U.S. Supreme Court? I really wonder, Ted Przelski, whether anything's going to change.
Well, it's goofy because you've got a lot of people who were supporting the law who are claiming this is some sort of unalloyed victory of some kind. And you know, you have to remember that there were four provisions that were under review, and three of them were struck down. Mm-hmm. And then this fourth one, it was not really upheld. And we're, you know, the problem is that's the word that we have. But it makes it sound like the court somehow affirmed this. And really what they did was they kind of let it stand and sort of left this thing out there that this has got to be reviewed once we see how this gets enforced. And then that kind of kicks it up to AZ Post and these groups in the state that actually write the rules for law enforcement. And the thing that folks like me have been saying for a long time is that, you know, how do you – and this is something that I also have gotten from people in law enforcement. How do you write these rules such that it does not discriminate against, you know, citizens that are here legally that happen to be of a certain race? You know, and then the other thing that's happening with it too is that when these rules get written, you have to remember there's also that provision in the law that allows people who don't feel that the law is being enforced strongly enough that they're allowed to sue. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure coming from both directions on how these rules get written. So it's going to go back to the court. I know there's already organizations that are looking at – that are going to keep an eye on this. And from my perspective too, if Joe Arpaio is the model, this ain't going to fly.
Ted Przelski is with us. This is our blogger beat on the Buckmaster Show. Ted is the author of the blog Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, which was just named by the Capital Times as the best political blog in Arizona. Let's talk a little bit about politics. Colonel Martha McSally, the congressional candidate, Republican in CD2. Yes, she does have an opponent, so she is not the official candidate, mm-hmm. who will be running against either Ron Barber or Matt Hines. But does this have the whole incident with Mr. Stone, does it have any legs to it? Martha was on the program yesterday saying that, you know, that chapter is of Sam Stone that is now behind her. Does it have any legs?
I'm not sure. I know that the election night, I was already hearing from Republicans that, oh yeah, there was this this campaign to, you know, some sort of phone bank that was calling into, you know, and it sounded a little iffy to me because, frankly, real people who have jobs and families to worry about don't vote on that basis. Mm-hmm. You know, don't vote strategically like that.
And she denies herself any kind of sabotage campaign
exactly.
that was going on.
But the fact is those stories were out there. Now, mm-hmm. what Sam did, and I'm sure this is something that folks sometimes at work in politics do. They want to let everyone know how much insider knowledge they have, how smart they are. It's kind of why we blog.
Inside baseball. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, what led to this more than any kind of conspiracy on Martha McSally's part. That said, you know, it does say that there was a little bit of distrust in the activist community. You know, whether or not she can work through that, you know, that's, you know, how good of her campaign is. You know, she's going to have a tougher road than Kelly did. She's running in a district that's more Democratic, and she'll be running against someone who's got the power of incumbency. And she still, despite this fantastic story she's got, she still has to introduce herself to voters. So we'll see how that goes. And Ron Barber just had a campaign, a few million dollars were spent where he was introducing himself to voters. So
yeah, I think both still, and Ron will have an advantage that he is the incumbent, but both still are kind of telling their story to the electorate. We'll be interviewing Jonathan Pate and Ted Brzezelski in a few moments. As you know, Jonathan is one of four Republican candidates in this monster district, the CD1, including Oro Valley and Marana, and then going up to Navajo land. I think it's just a minefield.
Well, it's actually bigger, believe it or not, than the old CD1. From what I understand, it was the running gag for me was always reading the press reports about previous CD1 campaigns, where every single one wanted to point out that it's the size of the state of Pennsylvania. But it's funny because I kind of wonder what would have happened had Jonathan decided to run in CD8. I mean, the voters here already have taken a measure of him. I think that that he's got some very strong roots here, but you know, he's running in a place where not a lot of people know him. I think he made a little bit of a mistake when he tried to challenge one of the other candidates, because that was a person that had roots in the district and has a community that already kind of knows him. You know, in that district, it's you know, even though you have all these people from these different little towns that run, and you're like, well, you know, that place only has 5 or 10,000 people. Well, yeah, but
they all know him.
They know him.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a candidate from Sedona on the Republican side, Sholo. I don't know where this Gaither Martin candidate is from.
Yeah, he's from
the
White Mountains.
Okay, so I mean, it's not going to be an easy road.
Yeah.
And then the winner there will face either Kirkpatrick or Baldinegro. That's kind of an interesting race.
Well, the thing that's also going on out of you know, out of the Democratic side is they're bringing up that Payday Payton thing again.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that was interesting about that is you know, I've talked to some people who were involved in that before, and how much sway that particular thing had with rural Republican voters, and it may have actually hurt Jonathan in that primary. And so this is something that if you remember from 2010, I mean, even Jesse Kelly started picking it up as a line. And you know, it's you know, lobbyists aren't the most popular thing in either Republican or Democratic primaries, so it's going to be a problem for him.
Are you following at all the supervisorial races here in Pima County? Each one, this is the first time, Ted Przelski, in 20 years that there will be a contested race for each of the supervisors.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, and I'm wondering how much of an issue the Rosemont mine's going to be.
Well, I've said all along, I think it's almost a referendum on Rosemont.
Yeah, well, and I think there's people in the community that want to make it that. I think on both sides. Although it is interesting because, you know, I think given that, but that'll change from district to district. I think in Supervisor District 5, I mean, you might have someone who the Rosemont people are backing, but that's not a district, you know, you're talking about a lot of midtown neighborhoods, west side neighborhoods. It's not exactly a place you want to go out and say we want to knock down a mountain. So it's not going to be a perfect referendum for them, but that you're going to see a lot of money. I've heard rumors, and I've been trying to track it down, about a PAC being formed on behalf of these candidates that would be funded by the Rosemont folks. I'm still trying to find out exactly who's doing that and how it would work. The Rosemont folks themselves have been putting up ads just about the mine, and I noticed there was one that was taking a kind of an oblique shot at one of the Rosemont opponents when they were pointing out that they use less water than Pecan Farms, and you're sort of going, I wonder who that's about. So there's it's going to be very interesting because of that, because I don't think it's been a while since we've had one solid issue like that that's really been galvanizing in all those races. I know that some of the folks that were involved in the election integrity thing 4 years ago tried to make that an issue, but they're kind of
a marquee issue. It just didn't really have roots, though.
Well, yeah, it didn't, because you had a couple people running in primaries, and it wasn't the same.
Well, Supervisorial District 1 will be very interesting on the Republican side. There are four candidates facing off to see who will be facing Nancy Young Wright. That's one we'll be keeping a close eye on. Ted Brzezelski, thank you very much for being with us.
All right, well, thank you.
Ted is the author of Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, named by the Capital Times the best political blog in Arizona. The best way to get to your site would be how? Just rum,
romanismrebellion.net. And yes, I came up with that before I thought anyone would actually visit it. So, and I'm stuck now.
There
so.
You go. All right. Have a great afternoon. Right.
Thanks,
Ted.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Everything is over there. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring, ghost towns. Silver City's historic downtown, Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great cool weekend getaway this summer. Only 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Plenty of great accommodations over there, including Silver City KOA. Check out more about Silver City, Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, Oro Valley and Marana are now part of Arizona's largest congressional district. This is a monster district stretching from the north side of Pima County around the eastern half of the state, then north of Flagstaff and the Navajo Reservation. There are four Republican candidates in the primary for CD1. One of them is former state lawmaker Jonathan Payton, who joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Payton, good to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you.
Jonathan Payton, state representative from 2005 to 2008. He was a state senator from 2009 to 2010. He ran for Congress in an unsuccessful bid against Jesse Kelly. Jonathan, how are you shaping this campaign with that huge district to cover?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is I've got 50,000 miles on my car right now, so that kind of answers that question. I mean, we're driving all over the place. We've been to many parts like Sholo and Flagstaff and Navajo Nation over 15 times since January. We were in Safford last night. We've actually spent more time outside of the Southern Arizona portion of the district than inside of it. Now we're starting to focus more in my home county.
We were talking just a few moments before you went on the air with us with Ted Przelski, whose blog, Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion, was just named best political blog in Arizona by the Capital Times, and we were talking about this CD1. It really is a process for you to introduce yourself to some of these areas. Your opponents, one is from Sholo, one's from Sedona, I think the other one's from the White Mountains as well. So is it pretty much getting out and letting people know who you are at this point?
It is, but I would also say we have the burden of having to get to know people in this part of the district as well, because there's over 100,000 people in Oro Valley, Marana, and Saddlebrook, and unincorporated Pima County, and 51% of the population in this district is now south of Globe. We estimate that over 45% of the votes in this general election will come from just two counties, Pima and Pinal. And 55% of the primary will come from just these two counties. So they do have that burden, just like I do, having to travel the state. We've been to more places than any other candidate in this race, I guarantee you that. I mean, we have really worked hard. We have steering committee members in every single county in the district. And I think we're doing really well.
It's a widely diverse group of people in this district, isn't it? You've got retirees in Saddlebrook, and then you've got the Hopis and the Navajos, the Flagstaff area folks. I mean, how do you structure this? What are your marquee issues that you're talking about?
I think the one thing that definitely is a commonality in this district, and it binds the residents of Saddlebrook with the Navajo Nation, is this is the largest portion of federal land, one of the largest parcels of federal land in the country. And no matter where you go and who you talk to, there is someone who has a very real relationship with the federal government in a way that they don't have in Tucson or Phoenix. And as an example, in Globe or in Superior, they're concerned about the Resolution Mine. You talk to the folks in northern Arizona near Sholo, they're concerned about the forest fires and the Forest Service. And on the Navajo Nation, they're concerned about the Navajo Generating Station, which is threatened by the EPA. So every single one of these areas has to deal with the federal agency in a way that probably the larger urban areas don't. And that is definitely a commonality. And the person who's going to represent this district and is going to be their spokesperson is really their one link to stand up for them. And that's what makes the member of Congress from this district so much more important, I think, than maybe other members in the state.
Your opponents are trying to put this that payday patent thing on you again. What do you say to them?
Well, I think it's really simple. I ran a charity for the industry well over 10 years ago, and it was a scholarship program for kids. And I never actively lobbied for any legislation or anything like that. I work with lawmakers such as Gabby Giffords and others to review some of the scholarship applications, and that was it. And, you know, it's clear that they have their own issues that they haven't been able to Ann Kirkpatrick, as an example, is worried because she voted the wrong way in this district. And, you know, I also find it ironic that this discussion about the payday loan industry, she's received over $10,000 from that industry of her time in Congress and in the most recent election cycle. So I don't think that's going to really hold water. My history is serving this country as a soldier and serving in Iraq and serving as a state lawmaker with distinction. And I'm proud of my service, and I think that the issues are people are going to be agreeing with me more than they're going to be agreeing with Ann Kirkpatrick or anyone else in this race.
Jonathan Payton is with us. He is congressional candidate in CD1. You know, you mentioned Kirkpatrick and Baldinegro as the opponent up there. That's a pretty competitive race on the Democratic side, isn't it?
Well, it is when you look at the numbers of people. An important constituent group in the Democratic Party are people on the in the different tribes. There's a lot of Democrats that live in those areas. Winona has a base of support among them. There's a lot. If you look at her endorsement page, there's a lot of high-profile tribal council members that are in her corner. And one of the reasons for that is that when Ann Kirkpatrick was in office, she took away their... The Native Americans had their own representative. It was a guy by the name of Walter Phelps under Rick Renzi. She took that person away and replaced it with someone from Flagstaff to deal with their issues. And I think they felt slighted by that, and the visibility of the member of Congress went down considerably during her tenure. And I think that a lot of the folks in the San Carlos Apache Reservation and others felt that she went back on her word on what her stance was on the Resolution Mine. I've been very upfront with that, and I think that they at least appreciate my honesty about where I stand on it. And I think that's why Winona has the votes that she has and why she has the support that she has.
Was the SB 1070, are folks talking about that in this district that you're running in, or is that pretty much going to be business just the same way?
No, I think they are definitely talking about it. But moreover, they're talking about what is going to happen about the enforcement mechanism when the former governor of this state, Janet Napolitano, as the director of Homeland Security, announced that the federal government simply won't take the phone calls of people of law enforcement in Arizona. I think there was a lot of concern about the state being abandoned by the federal government, and that is definitely an issue. It's going to be an issue in this campaign. It's going to be an issue about the federal government suing Arizona in the first place, and, well, among other issues, but I think it's going to come up, certainly, and there's a very big distinction between myself and my opponent because she obviously opposed it, which resulted ultimately in a boycott of our state, and I voted for it when I was in the state Senate.
You're dealing with a lot of high unemployment areas in that CD1, aren't you?
Absolutely. If you go through Superior, if you go through Globe, if you go through Stafford, you see a lot of closed-up shops, you see a lot of farms that are not active. And one of the biggest reasons for that, or I guess, is the federal intervention on issues like water rights, on issues like the Resolution Mine, on a lot of those areas that the federal government controls, it has made it very difficult for people to make a living. The timber industry is basically dead in this state as a result of the Forest Service. It's also resulted in these horrendous forest fires. So all of these things come together, and you hear about it again and again, and not just from free market conservative Republicans. You hear it from a lot of union folks in Globe. You hear it from a lot of folks that traditionally have not been Republicans. I'm hearing it more and more on the Navajo Nation. There are people that are very concerned about the Navajo Generating Station. If that goes under because of an EPA ruling, they're afraid of hundreds of jobs being lost. And that has ripple effects. It affects the growers in Marana and other parts of this district as well.
Jonathan Payton, who has 50,000 miles on the car, you're about due for another set of tires, I guess, Jonathan.
Pretty much. I'm kind of on pins and needles when they're going to go. Definitely.
All right, Jonathan Payton, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show. And we want to tell you that bottled water, gladly so, provided by Culligan, offering what we think is the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. And I really believe Culligan water just simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show also is presented by Mike Flowers, CPA, Flowers and Rieger and Associates. If you're a small business person like myself, believe me, you need a CPA you can trust, and I recommend Michael C. Flowers. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.